And we'll be wrapping up with George Laszlo, who's Executive Director of the Taxi. Let me do it this way.
Oh, sorry, I'll go turn it on for you.
Too clever by half. Okay. So George is Executive Director of the Taxi and Limousine Research Center based in New York. The mission of this nonprofit organization is to collect, analyze, and distribute information related to the provision of taxi and limousine services around the world. All aspects of the industry are covered, including political, economic, social, technical, and historic. Prior to starting this organization, George assisted pharmaceutical and biotech companies with the implementation and operation of computer systems focused on research and development. He is a recognized expert in the areas of data and content management. He has an eclectic record collection numbering in the thousands, but confesses to having a fondness for the blues and the works of Carl Orff. There's room for everybody at ARSC. Yeah. He looks forward to taking you on a ride. Tips, of course, are optional.
All right, just give us a second here. If you want to take a seventh inning stretch, you know, by all means, please do that. Oh, I need a password. Okay. No, I won't show my password.
Okay.
All righty, great. Okay. All right, so you will probably notice right away that the title of my talk is now slightly different than what's in the program, and that's all because of this gentleman right here. He sent us a note prior to coming here saying, you know, this gives us a great opportunity in this session to do some exciting stuff, and he wanted us to jazz it up as much as possible. So I changed it to A Ride Through the 20th Century. But then I woke up this morning and I said, okay, well, we need something even better, potentially, as an exciting title. So I came up with SLR, Taxi Music, Sex, Love, and Romance. So I'm saying that because after having collected all this music, and I'm going to play like 20 different things for you, actually 18, and with a little music at the beginning here. Any event, you're going to see that when you distill this all down, it really comes down to that thing. It's pretty much about romance and love and sex, and when it comes to taxi music. First, I want to tell you also that my organization is going to try to get this published next year, and there's one of these over at the silent auction. So this happens to be like a demo CD, not for sale or resale, but certainly, of course, if you put in your bid, the money is going to go to ARSCs, which is a good cause. And also, hopefully, I won't get in trouble with any copyright lawyers, but we'll see. Anyway, so there's a disclaimer here. This is only because I now represent a nonprofit organization. If I would have been here as an independent researcher, I wouldn't have to put up all these crazy bullet points about what's in the contents of this presentation. But let's jump into taxis. And what I'm going to try to do is give you a little history about the taxi business, taxi limo business around the world, and then illustrate since the beginning, which in this case goes back to 1891, all the way to today, what kind of music has come out because these taxis exist in the first place. So if we first look at some of the history, and I'm going to do this decade by decade, by the way. So I'm going to start out with giving you a little history of, let's say, the 1900s, and then play some music from the 1900s, and then 1910, and 1920, and all the way to 2012. And at some point, George is going to tell me to shut up, because we'll probably run out of time. But let's see what happens. So this gentleman on the top left is Friedrich Wilhelm Gustav Brunn. And he is a gentleman that was born in Lübeck in Germany and lived most of his life in Berlin, a prolific inventor. And he's the one that came up first with a workable taxi meter. And this was back in 1891. So this measured the distance traveled by a particular vehicle. At the beginning, it was the number of turns of the wheel. And of course, you could mathematically calculate by that how far something has gone. But the point is that the meter is able to display literally how far you have gone, which allows you to then charge based on distance. And this is important, of course, to the taxi business to today. It was first used in 1897 on a Daimler Victoria taxi, which you see on the bottom left, actually. He went on, this guy later, to be a pretty important inventor because somebody mentioned planes earlier. Martin Luther King, for example. Well, the plane would have had an altimeter invented by this guy here as well. Also a tachometer, which of course almost cars, well, race cars at least, or some cars have if you're a car lover like I am. One of the things that I love about doing research like this, and I'm sure a lot of you will agree with me, is all the esoteric little stuff that you bump into. I had no idea that his daughter actually then was married to Mies van der Rohe, the architect. You wouldn't find out these things, you know, unless you were doing esoteric stuff like this. So then going a little bit further, obviously if you're going to have a taxi meter, you need to attach it to something, so you need a taxi. So the first taxi in the United States is right here on the top left. It's called an Electrobat. This particular illustration is from Union Square, which some of you are probably familiar with, in New York, in the 1896. And it's in front of Tiffany's. Tiffany's, by the way, moved like three times. And so its current location on Fifth Avenue is its third or fourth location at this point. The photo on the bottom right is the exact same Electrobat. There's one of these, actually, which I discovered recently at the American, there's a museum in Pennsylvania. Well, I mean, it'll come to me later. However, I do want to just mention before I go to the next slide is that the actual first taxi was driven in Germany by a gentleman named Friedrich Lutzmann in 1893. There's a lot of, and if you're in the taxi history business like I am today, there's still a lot of controversy about when taxi businesses actually really started. This is the earliest that I could find, and there's a lot of conflicting information about this. So let's say 1893 at least, and then in London and Paris it began in 1897. And just to give you a little bit more, this is the only one I have three slides about taxi history, and the rest of them were just one slide per decade or 20 years. What happened is at the beginning that the taxi business really heated up between 1904 and 1914. The electric vehicles, like you saw on a previous slide, went out of style fairly quickly simply because they just couldn't compete with gasoline-powered vehicles that could go a lot further distances. If you have an 800-pound battery in the 1900s, you got about 25 miles out of it, and then you'd have to recharge for hours and hours and hours. So that just didn't work, even though technologically it was better. And the passengers liked it more because they weren't spewing forth a lot of fumes and making a lot of noise. They were completely silent even back then. So from 1904 to 1914, there was a tremendous growth in the taxi business everywhere. You can look at that little chart on the bottom left there, and you'll see how it grew. Like, for example, in Paris, by 1913, there were 10,000 taxis. And therein lies an interesting thing, which is taxi regulations essentially came about almost everywhere in the world because of an oversupply of taxis. There were just too many people competing, and everybody's business was just, you know, shot. Nobody could make a decent living. So regulators came along and said, well, we're going to try to fix that. So the 1900s, I consider the age of innocence when it comes to taxi music. This is when taxis first came into use. It could really only be afforded by people who are more well-to-do, upper middle class to upper class from an economic perspective. And it was still sort of like the Garden of Eden, where the innocence was still there. But as you will see from this first song that I'm going to play for you, romance shows its head right from the get-go. This particular song called The Taxi Meter Car is by Billy Williams, who was a British music hall player, extremely popular guy, and this is from Edison Gold Molded Records, Cylinder. I beefed up the photo just so that you could see the printing. It wasn't that color, actually, originally. Let's give a quick listen here.
To newly married couples, It's the best thing that is out. It fairly beats a hansom cab without the slightest doubt. While driving to the station to go on your honeymoon, the driver can't look through the top and watch you kiss and spoon. So, oh, the car, the taxi meets your car. It's better than taking a trip to Spain or having your honeymoon over again. If you're out with your sweetheart, your mate or your pa, do it in style at 8 pence a mile and a taxi meets your car altogether. It's a lovely chorus, isn't it? It's better than taking a trip to Spain or having your honeymoon 8 pence a mile, eh? And charge about 5 shillings when you get there. Oh, do it in style at 8 pence a mile and a taxi meets your car.
So Billy Williams, I'm going to, by the way, just to save some time, I'm not going to necessarily run through all the bios of all the people that I have here. So read, please, along, and then I'll just mention some highlights as we go along. This guy was called the man in the velvet suit. That's a velvet suit. I know it's a black and white photo, but supposedly they were very colorful, and he was well-liked. He toured Australia because he was, in fact, from Australia, and emigrated to the UK. The only number I'm going to play for you, which is not in English, happens to be Mimi Taxi by Harry Fraxon. Actually, he's a British guy. He moved to Paris and became very famous there, as you'll see in a minute, when he died, which is kind of an interesting, tragic circumstance. 50,000 people showed up at his funeral. So that's how popular he was. The song is by Emile Spencer, who died in 1921, also a music hall song. Somebody can help me out here, by the way, because I sent this to any number of people who speak French perfectly and are actually interpreters. No one can give me a translation, because I think this is in a very local Parisian dialect, French, local of that era, and they can't make it out. And I had to boost the audio in order to get you to be able to hear it. Interesting. I still love to have a translation. At least the Mimi Taxi part, you know, when it talked, what was the context for the taxi? So Fraxon was also extremely popular. You can see he was a kind of a comedian type of guy. He was murdered by his father, unfortunately. He's at Père Lachaise Cemetery, which means that he's, if anybody have gone to Père Lachaise Cemetery, he's in very good company. Morrison is there, for example. So is Chopin, I think. A number of other composers and lots of other famous politicians are buried there. So he's in good company there. So we're going to move on here to a little bit later, where as you can imagine, World War I interfered and World War II later on interfered with things as far as the taxi business is concerned, as also as music. On the top left, you see here a Renault taxi. This is one of the most fascinating stories that I know about that I found that I bumped into. Where the taxis actually saved Paris because, as you can see here, General Joseph Gallieni commandeered the entire fleet to go out to take the troops, 6,000 troops, to the front. And they actually stopped the Germans at that point, so they could not get into Paris. And I had to kind of put this together through lots of research because, there's lots of conflicting research out there or information out there. As far as I could tell, they carried three soldiers inside, two on the roof and two on the running boards, and they made two round trips. I don't know if it's the same taxis that made the two trips, but who knows. But the taxi business was decimated at this point, not just in Europe, but everywhere that the war touched, and of course in the United States as well, a little bit later. Later on, even before the end of the war, you could imagine that people were hungry for some fun music and that were trying to lived through the war as well as they could, and in the United States that was true. So I'm going to here play for you the Darktown Starters Ball, which also has a taxi connection, because how do you get to the ball? You have to take a taxi. This is by Shelton Brooks, and instead of playing the original, which was by the original Dixieland Jazz Band, which that recording does exist, by the way, I personally prefer Alberta Hunter.
I'll be down to get you in a taxi, honey. Oh, please be ready about 8:30. Oh, honey, don't be late, 'cause I wanna be there when that band starts playing. Remember when we get there, honey, 2 steps, I'm gonna have them all. Gonna dance out both of my shoes. Have mercy when they play Jelly Roll Blues. Tomorrow night at the Darktown Strutters Ball.
She's great. So the original Dixieland Jazz Band, also a very interesting story here. They started at Schiller's Cafe in Chicago, then they moved to New York and to Reisenweber's. Now, on the bottom right, you see a photo of Reisenweber's. If you know New York, this is at Columbus Circle. If you go to Columbus Circle now, it's totally transformed. Now the Time Warner Center is there, which, I recommend to everybody to go into. Fantastic view of Central Park from there. And there's also the jazz club in that building, which is worthwhile visiting. So they released this. They were actually taking credit for coining this whole jazz word, J-A-S-S, originally. Another piece of trivia, which I'm sure many of you do know. And that was March 7th, 1917. They did have a concert in London, and they played for King George V at Buckingham Palace. So they were pretty well known. As you can see, it's a group of 5 white musicians. So let's go into the 20s. A lot of proliferation happened at that point. And the 1920s in the United States, the most important development, probably from a taxi perspective, is the development of Checker Motors. That was a Russian immigrant, by the way, that started that company, Morris Merkin. He became very successful and also probably responsible in the long run for the breakup of the taxi business, monopolized or duopolized or triopolized in some cities. But he was extremely successful, so I said, okay, I'll build the taxis and then I'll sell them to my own taxi companies. So Chicago, New York, all these other places around the country were running Checker cabs, even though they were probably called something else. So as you can see from this particular slide, that there was a growth also in many other cities at the time. There were lots of labor issues that came along. The taxi dancer business kind of exploded. I don't know if you knew this, but the term comes from the idea of paying for a ride, and as opposed to, in this case, paying for a dance. So the taxi dance halls became very popular, especially in New York City, there at the Fay Club. And George Gershwin, around the same time, unrelated to the taxi dancers, with American in Paris, you heard the horn in the first number that I played. He literally brought a horn back from Paris to play at the premiere of American in Paris in New York. And of course, we had a crash. Here's a number from 1919. I thought that you would rather hear Marilyn Monroe singing this than Eddie Cantor. At least I do. And pay attention to the very end because it's great.
You'd be surprised. He's not so good at the start, but at the end of the week, you would be surprised. On a streetcar or in a train, you'd think he was born without any brain, but in a taxi cab. And when he starts to cry, I said a taxi cab, you'd be surprised. This one's a real danger.
All right. Pretty good. So pretty racy, actually, right, for the 1920s. So this is by Irving Berlin. There's another thing I did not know, of course, is that his original name was Bailin, also from Russian descent. Sorry? Izabibelin. Thank you. And supposedly, and I can't swear that this is true, this was a publishing error when they published his first piece on paper, that the publisher changed it to an R, so that became Berlin. It's one letter change. So I'm not going to dwell on Irving Berlin because everybody knows him, did write God Bless in America. Another interesting thing, though, is that he wrote it in 1917 and put it in his back pocket and didn't publish it until 1938. When he was brought out because of the war again. So then we move on into the 30s. Obviously, there's recovery here in the taxi business. There was no war, but there's no money either. Europe was quite interesting because this is when they started to reuse the old cars or basically try to build them as cheaply as possible if they were new. That was true for the car industry in World War I, also in World War II, after World War II. But there were still lots of business going around for taxis. Mercedes introduced its 260D, meaning diesel, taxi, which is still prevalent today, meaning diesel, not the 260, in Europe. And diesel technology has changed by leaps and bounds over the years. In fact, I can't even tell anymore the difference between a gas performance and a diesel power performance car. Personally, it's just that we Americans haven't picked it up for some odd reason. So very prevalent in Europe. There were scandals, of course. Politicians were not immune from getting found out and caught, even back then, for doing crazy stuff, like Jimmy Walker, who was really one of the most flamboyant and colorful mayors in New York, had to resign because of a taxi scandal where he was getting paid off, and some of his relatives too. The number of taxis got reduced in many places around the world, again, to control the ability of people to make a decent living. Of course, there's politics involved as well. New York created the medallion system that is in place today back in 1937. So that's the first time that you literally had to buy a license. And it's now, of course, traded just like stocks. And that's taxis in their late 20s in front of Macy's on the bottom left there. So as far as the music is concerned, Cab Calloway has been mentioned a number of times during this conference, and of course I'm sure previous ones as well. So this is a Brunswick record. This is a Harold Arlen, Minnie Moocher's Wedding Day. Of course, Cab Calloway became famous because of Minnie Moocher, but he wrote many follow-ons to Minnie Moocher, sort of like they make follow-on movies these days, you know, Star Trek 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and whatever. And this particular one is about Minnie Moocher's wedding day. And try to catch the various references here to opium and cocaine.
Some news that'll get you. It's made to order for you. I just bet it's a cinch you follow up these red hot clues. Grab a taxi and go down. Chinatown's on a spree. Let me give you the lowdown. This is really history. Whenever folks in Chinatown start acting gay, There's something in the air that makes them feel that way.
I want to stop it there because I want to make sure I get all these songs in. Something in the air, guess what that's about. So Cab Calloway, everybody knows about as well. But there's some interesting things that I found about it, about him, as I went along as well in the research. I'm not going to say much more about that right now. Because I'm sure many of you are much more familiar with him than I am. Another song, Lullaby of Broadway, 1935, was a film, actually. It was used in a film by Winnie Shaw. It's on Decca 408. The Gold Diggers of 1935 is the film. The music is by Harry Warren, lyrics by Al Dubin. Let's just listen to that. Okay.
Come on along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway, the hip hooray and ballyhoo, the lullaby of Broadway, the rumble of the subway train, the rattle of the taxis, the daffodils who entertained at Angelo's and Maxine's when a Broadway baby says goodnight. It's early in the morning. Manhattan baby don't sleep tight until the dawn. Good night, baby. Good night. Milkman's on his way.
By the way, they sing in there about Angelo and Maxie's. That's still there. It's a steakhouse. Still present in New York. I really loved her voice. It's very sultry. I sort of like to personally give back that she's of Hawaiian descent. Now, I don't know why I made that up in my head. So don't quote me, okay? I just loved her voice. Born Winifred Leigh Momi, one of 13 kids. Sang Lady in Red, was in 29 movies. For some reason, though, most people don't know about her. She did a number of things later on in her life, lived till 1982 in New York, but certainly nowhere near as famous as many other people, and maybe she should have been. This, by the way, there was something in the ARSC Journal, volume 29, page 136, that I found that information. Shows that actually if you do a Google search, ARSC Journal shows up. Good. So now we have another war that interferes. People are always interested when I show them this little photo that Cadillac made tanks during World War II. Lots of other car companies went into the war business at the time. They pretty much had to. You know, turned their factories into making things for the war. So car and taxi production pretty much came to a halt. There were even limitations on the use of taxis during the war. In 1940, there was a taxi worker strike as well in New York. It's in some ways life does go on, right? Even though there may be a war on. Interesting things, of course, are that Jews were prohibited from using taxis starting around 1940, and that pretty much like went like a wave, city by city. In Germany, it wasn't a one-time everybody, okay, Jews no longer can use taxis. Parisian drivers were resourceful, and they started to use wood gasification to be able to create gasoline. But the number of taxis did go down in many places. Only 1,000 left in Paris by the end of the war. Remember, there were 10,000, I said, like 1913, 17, around that area. I don't think you could buy a 1942 Cadillac like this anymore. I haven't tried to look on eBay. Now, this is one of my favorites. Vera Lynn, British, and it's related to the war, obviously. Soldiers going away to war miss home. Their families miss them. There's correspondence going on, of course. So you could imagine that any singers during the war who basically wrote songs or sang songs about the love and missing your loved ones would have been popular. And that goes for Vera Lynn.
That lovely weekend, those 2 days of heaven you helped me to spend. The thrill of your kiss as you stepped off the train, the smile in your eyes like the sun after rain. To mark the occasion, we went out to dine. Remember the drive in the taxi when midnight had flown, then breakfast next morning, just we two alone.
Okay, so I'll let you read this. Very interesting, very popular person. She did a lot of, like many American entertainers, did tours during the war to various bases around the world. And she did have a hit in the United States called Auf Wiedersehen, Sweetheart. Don't remember what year that was. So I should have put that there. Then we go into the after the war, of course, everybody's rebuilding. I mentioned earlier that in Europe, they tried to produce taxis as cheaply as possible. They reintroduced cars back in the United States. Notice there in 1958, you have a 190D taxi. Mercedes didn't necessarily go up numerically with their car model numbers. Remember, the other one was a 260D. Now we're back to 190. So it's a series. Many other companies around the world were building taxis for their own markets. Medallions, as you can see here, I'm not going to try to list all of these, but just suffice it to say that in 47, a medallion cost $2,500. It is now over $1 million in 2013, and actually I heard the other day that it's going to now approaching, as we speak, close to $1.5 million for a corporate license. Checkers were sent to Finland after the war because, of course, there was a dearth of cars there as well, so the used taxis were sent abroad at the time. The yellow taxis in New York were introduced in 1967. Now, that's mandated, not actually. There were companies that had yellow cabs. It was actually started in Chicago. I don't know if you know this, but John Hertz, the rental car company guy, is actually the first guy that built the first real taxi fleet in the United States in Chicago, right after he visited Paris, where he saw them and liked the idea. And he's the first one to paint them yellow as well. So, but in New York in 1967 was the mandatory yellow cab that we're all familiar with today. So, John Lee Hooker came up, I think, yesterday in somebody's talk. Here's a number by him called Taxi Driver on Modern 958 and also on Ace CD 799 from around 1954. I think likely that's the correct year. I can't swear to it. At just about the time that he finished with Modern Records and switched to another label.
Taxi driver, take me across town right away. Taxi driver, across town right away.
Okay, I have to hurry up now. So John Lee Hooker, I'm sure most of you know about him. His first hit was Boogie Chillin' in 1948. He had used a lot of pseudonyms, so it's hard. I'm not even sure that we all know what all of them are. He switched to modern in that right around that time frame that this record came out. And he was in a 1980 Blues Brothers film. He got a Grammy in 89 for the Healer album, which was done with others, the joint production. Then came the Mills Brothers in the 1967-68 time frame. I find it quite interesting that sometimes things were released by American groups in Europe first, and then over here. So this one is by Carson Parks. I'm just going to play 1 second of this because you all know it. Well, maybe you don't.
Cab driver, drive by Mary's place. I just want a chance to see her face.
Okay. So the Mills Brothers were a group of four, and unfortunately John Jr. died early from pneumonia and was replaced by John Sr., his father, which is an unusual change, isn't it? It's normally the other way around. Duke Ellington is the one that helped them get to be big, and they were in five different movies. Paper Doll was recorded by them in 1943 and sold 6 million copies. Amazing, that's their biggest hit. So we go into the 70s, and I call this the stormy decade because lots of things were happening politically, socially, union-wise, anything impossible you could think of happened in not just the United States, but around the world. One of the reasons I'm showing you here that there are things were going around in India, the Padmini taxis are still today one of the favorites. I think quickly getting replaced by something more modern and comfortable. But this was also the time in the 70s where we had the issue at the Olympic Games in Munich with the Palestinian-Israeli issue. The New York Taxi Limousine Commission was started that year. There were taxi people injured in Birmingham. I have 1 minute left. But the first electronic taxi meter was introduced by Kienzle in 1975. Not surprised that many of the things that happened from a technology perspective came out of Germany, which is, of course, known for its technology. Taxi Driver, the movie, came out in 76, by the way. Joni Mitchell, I'll just play for a moment. It's the big yellow taxi.
Late last night, I heard the screen door slam. And a big yellow taxi took away my old man.
Okay, you all know that one, right? Okay, and you all know Joni Mitchell. So I'm going to keep moving. Another one, very famous, up there with Joni Mitchell, is Taxi by Harry Chapin. Now, Harry Chapin actually was a taxi driver. At least he got a taxi license. And the story that he tells here, although partly fictitious, partly true, is in the story. And there's, an update of this song later on when he gets together again with the same person that he had met earlier. This debuted on a Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
It was raining hard in Frisco. I needed one more fare to make my night. A lady up ahead waved to flag me down. She got in at the lights. Oh, where you going to, my lady blue? It's a shame you ruined your gown in the rain. She just looked out the window. She said 16 Parkside Lane.
All right. So I think you know that Harry Chapin died in a car accident on Long Island. Pretty tragic. In any event, what if we, is it okay, everybody? We'll use about a five-minute Q&A, and I'll just keep going. And then you can ask me questions afterwards if you'd like to stay, okay? Okay, no objections? Okay, is that okay, George? Okay. quickly, taxi TV series, Angela. This is a smooth jazz number by Bob James. I'm just gonna play a couple of bars here, because I'm going to keep going for the sake of time, but you'll recognize it. Okay. So Bob James, smooth jazz, established that genre, and he had his own label called Tappan Zee. He got a Grammy in 1986 for Double Vision. So very well-known. Not as an individual necessarily, but from his works as a writer. There was a transition in the 1980s to 1990s, and I'll just let you quickly glance at this. What can I tell you here that was really important? There was a union in New York that was formed, certainly not the first one for this business. There are lots of unions around the world that are trying to protect taxi drivers. In New York, this is the most recognized one and the biggest, with over 10,000 members still in business today. So in that era, we have a number of things that came out. Mel McDaniel wrote Baby's Got Her Blue Jeans On. I'm just going to play just a little bit of this.
Ah, the girl can't help it. Well, up on Main Street by the taxi stand, there's a crowd of people and a traffic jam. But she don't look back. She ain't doing nothing wrong.
All right, there's a section there which you're not going to get to hear. About her standing by the taxi stand and people ogling at her. Garland Jeffries, I'll just mention quickly, it is important because he's a songwriter who's from a Puerto Rican origin and a mixed marriage. So he was basically bringing up the social problems from discrimination, and it's reflected in the song Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll.
Pockets of hate, rockets of love. It's never too late for changing the color of.
Sorry, got to move on. So African American, Puerto Rican mix, a native New Yorker. So his songs, many of his songs are about racial issues. Lori Morgan, I'll skip for now because I do want to give you, it's a very good number, by the way. Also a very good-looking woman. So now we're into the 2000s, and a lot of things are changing. We're going into the hybrid era and going green in the taxi business, just like we are in most of with other motor vehicles. I won't say any more here. Just want to bring your attention quickly, David Weinstone, because we don't want to leave children out here either. This guy's very popular now, the inventor of Kindy Rock. Not his term, in fact, he doesn't like it, but it's basically writing songs for children and doing it is a collaborative effort. The children are brought by their parents, and they basically have a sing-alongs, and he writes original music for those sessions. That's David Weinstone.
I think I've lost my pony.
Okay, I think I'm going to have to stop. Can I just do one? I'm just going to do one more. Okay, just one more. Forget it. James Bond, Dave Arnold. This is one of my favorites. R. Kelly, an R&B soul. This is from a Love Letter album. This is 10th studio album. And less sexually explicit than most of his other work. And in fact, he got praised for it. It's called Taxi Cab. And after this, we'll stop.
Bright lights, street lights in a city that never sleeps. Loud music and talks people where all the party scenes. I saw a girl and I noticed that she noticed me. We sipped mojitos, then she told me all about her dreams. That we made love in a taxi cab. It reminded me of a dream I had. Now the memory's like a photograph. Ooh, yeah. And I can't get it out of my head.
All righty. There's more, but I'm going to stop. And don't forget, bid on the CD, because then you can listen to all of these in their entirety. Okay, thank you for listening, and enjoy the break.